We're doing Tehillim. We're up to the 66th chapter. Lamnatzeach Shir Mizmor. You guys got it? Lamnatzeach Shir Mizmor Hariu Leilohim Kol Haaretz. Lamnatzeach, the following song either was given as instruction to the conductor, or Lamnatzeach means to the one who plays music, or Lamnatzeach means a term of praise. The following praise, song of praise, was composed, Hariu Leilokim Kol Haaretz. All inhabitants of planet Earth should sing forth God's praise. Hariu actually does not mean to sing. Rather, Hariu means to wail. Wail forth God's praise. That's interesting. That's an interesting term, Hariu. So one understanding is we're talking about the ascent of the Mashiach, that when he comes in, all the nations will blow their trumpets, they'll blow in honor of Hashem as they recognize that Hashem is the God. And that's what this chapter is talking about. Another understanding is that it's talking about the Jewish people. When the Jews will be regathered from their exile, so then they will be gathered from all over the world. And so from all over the world, you'll hear the songs of praise of Hashem as the Jews come back to Israel. So that's two approaches to this chapter. Zameru chevot shemo, simu chavot tehilato. Sing in the honor of his name and make his glory onerous. So that's very difficult. That seems to be an impossible pasuk. We can sing in accordance with God's honor, with his glory. We can never live up to that. So Rashi therefore interprets the verse, the way to honor God is through song. So one concept that I don't know why people miss, it's a recurring theme in all of Tehillim. It's called singing. You come to shul and people are like, why is there so much singing? Why isn't davening quicker? Look at Tehillim. It's about singing. You're supposed to sing. So Zameru, the best way to glorify Hashem's name is through song. So this is reactionary. Either it's a reaction to what's happened throughout the exile, where people would say, you're God's people, so why are you so downtrodden? So now we're supposed to answer back by giving song. We're supposed to show the honor we do give God. Or else it's a reflection of the nations coming to a recognition that God deserves glory. Yeah, it's a different set of tunes. If you get enough guys interested in learning it, I'll be happy to give a class. We did it with the regular cantillation tunes. We could do it with Tehillim too. But you got to get a group. Imru le'elohim, ma nora ma'asecha. Say either to God or about God or before God. Imru le'elohim, ma nora ma'asecha. How awesome are your actions? Now we can look back and see that God's actions are awesome. Either the world can reflect, or the Jewish people upon their return from the exile can reflect. Berov uzecha, yechachashu lecha oyevecha. Nora means awesome. Yeah. So this is an interesting, that the tune over here is very difficult to say. Berov uzecha, yechachashu lecha, oyevecha. It doesn't exactly flow. It's like two separate tunes. Berov uzecha, and then yechachashu lecha, oyevecha. Okay. When you show your great might to the world, either by bringing a plague or a war or a famine. So then even your enemies, the wicked, they try to lie. They try to make believe they've always been okay. So that's one understanding. Another understanding is, because you are so mighty, even your enemies say they love you. They're scared, so they say they love you, but it's out of fear. That's how mighty Hashem is. If we're talking about the nations being regathered, if we're talking about the Jewish people being regathered, so then this is a reference to what happens at the end of time, where the nations, out of fear, say, we've never done any harm, right? Like the Talmud says in Tractate Avodah Zarah, the nations will come back and say, ah, we funded the rebuilding of the temple. We built bridges for the Jewish people. We built marketplaces for the Jewish people. And God's going to say, no, you didn't. You charged taxes. You did a lot of things for yourself. You can't say you did it for them. But there is this theme that at the end of time, the nations will try to lie their way out of their history. Kol ha'aretz yishtachavu lecha v'yizameru lach yizameru shimcha. Selah. All the nations, kol ha'aretz yishtachavu lecha, they will all bow before you. Vizameru lach, and they'll sing praise before you. Yizameru shimcha selah, and their songs of praise will be for eternity. And again, the word selah has different meanings. Either the word selah means for eternity, that's the classical interpretation, or else selah is a musical note. It's telling them to change pitch. It's telling them something about the music, or other interpretations, as we discussed. So, kol ha'aretz yishtachavu lecha. If it's the regathering of all the nations, so yes, this is a continuation of that theme. If it's about the Jewish people, so it's that theme. So all the nations will bow before you and sing before you, because when the Jews will be regathered into Israel, the nations will come to recognition that Hashem's running the world, and they will say, "Lechu uru mifalot Elohim nora alila al bnei Adam." Go, take a look at the wondrous things that Hashem did as Hashem runs the world. So the nations will take a look and say, "Look." Now we can look at world history and see the plan behind it all. So, Elechu uru, go see Mifalot Elokim, the actions, the way Hashem ran the world. Nora alila, now we can understand what a tremendous plan Al Bnei Adam, God had over mankind. You look at things and you say, why, what's going on here? What's going on here? Why is it that the matriarchs had to wait so many years before they had kids? Couldn't they enjoy life and have kids at a young age? They had to spend so many years crying for kids. So our sages say that God had a plan. The Jews have to go down to Egypt. And in Egypt, there will be a slow but steady process of the wearing thin of the moral fiber of the Jewish people. And so their servitude will get worse and worse. So God said, the longer the older generation remains, the longer the Jews will remain on a higher moral level, the less they'll have to suffer. So God says, I will detain the birth of the tribes. I will make it that they're born later on in world history, so that even though they have to die at a certain age that's already been predetermined, they will live for a longer amount of time within the Egyptian exile, and that will maintain the Jews on a higher level for a longer amount of time, and so they'll suffer less. So the matriarchs are praying, God, give me a child, right? And they don't know that in God's plan, Nora Alila, God's planning the broader scheme, and in the broader scheme, it's in our interest they should be born later, they should live more of their lives down in Egypt rather than in Israel. That way they will ensure that the population can maintain a higher morality for a longer period of time. Noha alila. When you look back, you suddenly say, oh wow, what a plan.
Is there a reason that it says, Yishtachavu lecha, Yizamru lach, Yizamru shimcha?
I think the lach is on the etnachta. I think grammatically, every time you hit a etnachta, it becomes a lach. I think so. הפך ים ליבשה, בנהר יעברו ברגל. God changed the sea into dry land. The Jewish people were able to cross the stream with their feet without a boat. Sham nismecha bo. And over there, the Jewish people rejoiced. They realized that Hashem was there to help them too. So, Sham nismecha bo. There, the Jewish people were able to rejoice in God's salvation. Moshel bigvurato olam. Hashem rules the world with His might. Einav bagoyim titzpehena. And Hashem is constantly watching what's going on in the nations. Even though throughout world history we could entertain the thought that God's not looking, look, they're getting away with it. At the end of time, they'll look back and say, yeah, He was watching everything. Hasorim aliyarimu. Again, the tune over here is a little difficult. Hasoririm, those that veered off the good path, they will no longer be able to elevate themselves and look down at others. Hasoririm, those that are arrogant, they uplift themselves. And as we come to the end of time, they will not be able to uplift themselves anymore.
So they cannot lie their way.
They won't succeed in lying their way out of it. Right. Barechu. Yeah.
How will they recognize the truth of history if they still want to lie their way out?
I think that once they see the truth of history and they see that Hashem had a plan and that He's still on our side, so then they're going to try any way they can to get out of it, including lies.
It also might be that when they're telling lies, they haven't come to realize, they haven't like gotten a vision from God, they've seen the truth of the message of God to Jews, so they're lying to us on a human to human level, on a nation to nation level, trying to level with us.
Well, the truth is that it's very hard to discern. You know, you build a bridge. Who do you build the bridge for? You build a marketplace. Who'd you build it for? Did you do it all to collect taxes? You know, it's very hard to discern. In all of history, that's the difficulty in looking at history. Whenever you read history, a lot of things are up to interpretation. You know, unless you were able to hear the conversation of the people who set it up, as an outsider looking in, why shouldn't a person be able to claim that? What's so difficult? Didn't we do positive things? Look, we did build an economy and an infrastructure. Baruchu amim Eloheinu ve'ashmihu kol tehilato. The nations should bless our God over the wondrous things that He's done. Vashmiu kol tilato, and make the sound of His praise heard. So there are two types of praise. There's praise that I say quietly, and then there's an even greater praise that I'm willing to say in front of others. It's a little bit more difficult. So this is a reference to Jewish history, meaning either the Jewish people or King David is turning to the nations and saying, now that you understand that throughout world history, God was ensuring that coal, that ember of the Jewish people would continue, and that was important for the world. So now you, the nations, should look at world history and bless Hashem, and make His praise heard. Hasam nafsheinu b'chayim ve'lo natan namot ragleinu. God that gives us life and doesn't let us falter. Ki v'chantanu Elohim tzeraftanu kitzof kasef. Even though Hashem, you gave us these afflictions, they were part of the test. You gave us these afflictions to purify us, to ensure that we can stand up to it. And in spite of everything, we wouldn't renege on our faith. Haveitanu v'metzudah. Hashem, you brought us into jail, into captivity. Samtamuaka v'motneinu. You placed our troubles, so to speak, as our girdle. Our history, it's as though we're wearing a belt of sorrow. It's as though we're surrounded time and again with afflictions. Hirkavta enosh l'roshenu. You made human beings in charge of us. Different kings who they could decide with their finger who's to the left, who's to the right. Hirkavta enosh l'roshenu. Hashem, you took man and put him in charge of us. Banu va'esh uvamayim. And so they afflicted us, be it through fire or water. Vatotziyenu la'ovaya. And ultimately, we know that you take us out, you bring us to a situation where we'll be satiated. Avoveitecha ve'olot. And so I will come to your house with sacrifices. Ashalem lecha nidarai. And I'll pay up the vows that I promised. If you'd only let me get out, I'll pay them up. I told you guys the story. I was talking to my grandmother. She asked me, how you doing? I said, nothing special. Told you a story, right? So she says, what do you mean nothing special? I said, Grandma, what did I say? My grandmother said, when the Nazis came to our town in Poland, my sisters, my brother, and I, we all hid in the basement under the floorboards. We spent 2 weeks down there. We couldn't get out. At like 2-3 in the morning, we would sneak out, collect something from the garbage to eat, a little bit of water, and get right back down under the floorboards. And that's how we spent those 2 weeks. Our own, when we had to relieve ourselves, the only place we could do it was down there under the floorboards. After 2 weeks, the stench became so bad that we couldn't breathe down there. And I remember being under the floorboards and praying to God in heaven, and I said, God, give me one more opportunity to sit like a normal human being on a rooftop, breathe normal air. I will never stop singing your praise. Give me one more chance. So my grandmother asked me, are you breathing? Is the air normal? How can you say nothing special? The pasuk says, I will pay up my vows. Meaning very often when we're in a situation of dire circumstance, we make all kinds of promises. But then when you get out, it's like, oh, everything's okay. You, right? You guys know the story about the parking space, right?
Is something special there? Some policemen stopped me and I don't have the heart of contact. So then I pray Hashem, so I say, look, only this time, and I promise you I'll put all the time. Even I don't like. So from then on, sometimes I stay 1 minute, 2 minutes, but I put all the time. But you're stupid, why you put? Because I promise. So, but it's something that helped me. It's not because now I'm proud, because it's something that helped me all the time to do that. Maybe after you pass to a bad situation, something, it's something inside that helped you.
Very nice. Very nice. So that's maybe pshat in what we read earlier. That the V'chantanu tziraftanu, that in hindsight, the Jewish people look back at the trials and tribulations and say, okay, they perfected us. I hear. Asher patzu sifatai v'diber pi batzar li. That which my lips expressed, that which my mouth expressed when I was in danger. Now, you'll notice that this pasuk, this chapter takes on the form that much of Tehillim takes on. And that is that you have a recurring theme. Every pasuk expresses the same idea twice. You notice that from the beginning of the chapter. Let's see. Lamnatzeach shir mizmor, hariu lelokim. Zameru, simu chavod. Emru lelokim manora ma'asecha, berov uzchai chachshul chayvecha. Kol ha'aretz yishtachavu, yizameru. Lechu uru mifalot Hashem, nora alila. The beginning says almost the identical idea as the end. It's poetic form. Oh. So sometimes it's talking about two cases in history, or sometimes it's talking to two people, or sometimes it's talking about two themes. But you have to notice when you hit such a chapter in Tehillim where you have the same idea twice. Hafach yam le'yabasha, banahar yavru v'ragel. Yeah? Sometimes it's a comparison between the exodus from Egypt to the entrance to Israel, which were two pivotal stages in Jewish history. With great similarities, two different generations. Baruch Hu Amim Elokeinu, Hashmiu Kol Tilato. Hasam Nafshenu B'Chayim, Lo Natan Lamot Ragleinu. Okay. You'll see that almost every pasuk has that form. We continue, and the pasuk says, "Olot mechim aalelach im ketoret enim esevakar im atudim sela." I will offer before you, Hashem, exceptionally fat animals. I will offer before you especially fat cattle. Lechushimu vasapera kol yirei Elohim asher asah lenafshi. Go here, I will tell over to all you who are God-fearing that which Hashem has done on behalf of my soul. David is saying, we have moments where doubt plagues us. We have moments where we ponder. Do I believe? Don't I believe? Let me tell you my story. And then you'll learn from my story that even at tough times, things can become better. You shouldn't let things destroy you when times are tough. Elav pikarati. When I was in a dire situation, I had enemies attacking me from all sides. I called to Hashem with my mouth, v'romam tachat leshoni, and with my tongue I praised Hashem. Avin im ra'iti v'libi, and even though in my heart I thought to myself, I should sin. I thought to myself, maybe I've had it with this path. Aven im ra'iti v'libi. Even if my heart looked in the other direction, lo yishma Adonai. God behaved as though he hasn't heard. God behaved as though he didn't know what I was thinking. Because God treats us in a unique way. Hashem says, if you thought to do something evil and then decided against it, I don't hold it against you that you had those thoughts. It's legitimate that a person has moments where he contemplates doing things that are wrong. I won't hold that against you, Hashem says. And David the Melech says, I'm telling you, Hashem helped me out throughout my life. And I'm telling you, I had moments where I was wondering, maybe I should go the other way. Chazal say, King David contemplated becoming a pagan. There was a time when King David looked at life and said, maybe the time has come to choose another path. He had it. Things were too tough. And then he turned back. So the fact that a person considers doing something wrong, very often we hold that against ourselves. It's one of the things I hear often. People tell me, I'm so cruel. I can think of so many terrible things. Even heinous things don't bother me. Okay. But David HaMelech also says he had moments. Okay. Achen, Shama Elohim, Hikshiv, Bekol Tefilati. But Hashem, I know he, in truth, he heard me. And he chooses which things he listens to. He did not listen to my evil thoughts, and he did listen to my prayers. And he was willing to accept my prayers, even though I had those moments of weakness. So learn from me, says David. Baruch Elohim, asher lo hisir tefilati v'chasdo me'iti. I thank Hashem who accepted my prayer. And even though I had moments of weakness and I contemplated doing things that were evil, Hashem accepted v'lo hisir, and he did not remove my prayer. He didn't say, I don't want to hear that guy's prayer, even though I had improper thoughts. And even chasdo me'iti, he did not remove his kindness from me. And you guys can learn from me, says David, that Hashem is willing to listen to a person, and when a person is in a time of dire need, he should offer his prayers. So the chapter began on an international scale. The whole world will sing Hashem's praise. The whole world will recognize how awesome Hashem has run the world. All this time we couldn't see it, and then finally we'll have a time when we will be able to see it. We'll see the might with which Hashem has been running the world. We'll see the plan, the great plan in all the trials and tribulations the world and the Jewish people had to suffer. And then King David says, I'll offer sacrifices. Now to the individual who reads this chapter and says, okay, but what about me? King David says, so learn from me. I was able to maintain a level of piety even though I had my weak moments and I had my moments where I contemplated doing things that were wrong. God didn't hold that against me. So I overcame them, I did what was right, and ultimately Hashem accepted my prayers. Perhaps we should add one point to this chapter.
David was special.
Should we take 5 minutes to add one more point? David HaMelech has an interesting history. We know some of his thoughts. We know that at one point he was contemplating murder. He was standing next to King Saul and he had his knife at hand and he was about to do it. And then he said, no, I'm not. This is wrong. I can't do it. God doesn't want it to happen. Either God will kill him or God's going to take care of the story. You see that.
But Saul is coming after him. If Saul would have turned around and David would have been. If Saul would have turned around and David didn't have the knife and Saul had the knife.
We call it self-defense.
No. Right. But you see that David HaMelech said about himself that would have been prohibited. And Chazal even hold it against him that David HaMelech said, God's going to take care of him. Meaning, Chazal say, look at King David in his most pious moment. Meaning, there's an element that's not as kind as it should have been. Chazal hold that moment against him. It's a moment of greatness. You know, David HaMelech, Chazal say, better Jacob's anger than David's kindness. When Jacob was angry at Lavan, what does he say? I've done nothing wrong. I've only served you well. He's so angry. So what does he say? He doesn't say, you bum, you brute, so I won't hurt you and you won't hurt me. At the end of this week's parasha, the Medrash says, and when David is being pious and saying, I won't kill him, but God should take care of him. He should drop dead. He should die at war. He should, that's the moment of piety. So Chazal say, better Yaakov's anger than David's piety. Okay, so you see, Chazal, look at that moment and say, okay, it's a giant moment for David. I don't think any of us would stand up to that moment. You know, here's his father-in-law who's been trying to kill him. His father-in-law who took away his first wife. His father-in-law who took his second wife and put her in a tent with another man and told her, you're married to him now. You know, how much can a father-in-law do to a guy? And he's chasing after him to kill him, and he's still not willing to kill him. So you look at that moment and you say, giant. And Chazal come and say, eh. So when David says, Hashem doesn't hold my thoughts against me, if we look at David's history, there were moments. He's definitely attracted to a married woman. So technically, on a technicality, she's not married. But those thoughts weren't proper. So his actions technically were okay, fine. Legally she was divorced. But when David says, Hashem is willing to accept me, and he doesn't take my thoughts and hold them against me, learn from me. So there's a lot of weight to that. We have to remember who's talking here. David, who is tremendously pious, we have a lot to learn from, but when it comes to his thoughts and his greatness in overcoming his weaknesses, that's where we have to learn from David. I don't know how many of you contemplated paganism, but Chazal said David did. So that's a powerful thought. He started worshiping idols.
When he was in Philistia?
No, when his son rebelled and the Jewish people turned against him and he broke out with leprosy and he stopped having prophecy and his wives were raped. So he said, okay, maybe that's it. Maybe God's had it with me. Maybe I should also go the other route. It says, as David was leaving Jerusalem, he said he went up to the Makom of Nitzav. So Tom says, what does it mean, Nitzav? That means he was contemplating erecting an altar there. It means he had a place of worship, and he was debating who he should worship now. And he had an inner struggle now. You know, God, I know I've worked it out that you run the world, but suddenly I don't understand. You know, you've been running the world, but you know, it's gotten pretty bad, pretty rough. So obviously there's more depth to that deliberation of King David, but taken on a simplistic level, so David says, recognize there's who to talk to and God wants to listen. And even if we've had our weak moments, God still wants to listen.